Good morning. Right. To say I wrote this talk and then I woke up this morning really early and thought, I don't think it's the right thing to say. So I sat with, there are notes all over it of ways to change it. The problem is if I change it as I go, I struggle to keep to time. So we're going to have a crack at trying to say what feels like the right thing to say and not what I wrote on Friday. But please forgive me if we don't quite... I'm usually quite strict about keeping to time, but I've got things written in the sides. So, who was here last month when I spoke about Sabbath? Some. Oh, okay, and you came back. That's great. So I was quite theoretical in January when I was talking about Sabbath. And today I want to look a bit more practically at it. But if what you need today is actually a Sabbath rest and not more input, then don't listen to me. Just use this time to be your Sabbath rest. And I've put some suggestions on the board. The overarching theme of wasting time with God is a definition of Sabbath that I think I found in Tilden Edwards, but he might have been quoting someone else. So that you might want to just sit with the idea of wasting time with God. The other four lines are just ideas of things to hold in your breath as a prayer. Just breathe in and out one of those lines and let that be your Sabbath moment today. If you can't read the board, that God of the poor, make me your good news. As you love, let me love. Let your all be my enough. God loves you today and always. Or it may be that there's a phrase out of what we've sung or read or heard or what I say today that captures your attention. Feel free to just hold that and sit with it and not continue to listen to everything else. That might just be my way of getting out of you listening to me. But seriously, this is the time, this is a Sabbath rest time, so use it in the way that is the most appropriate for you today. You know who you brought, and I don't. In summary, what I said last time was that the Sabbath in the biblical tradition is given as... There's two reasons given for Sabbath in slightly different versions of the commandments. There's that we have the Sabbath because God rested in creation, and we have the Sabbath to remember that we were slaves in Egypt. The first is related to God providing abundantly. It's a call to trust. It's a call of God that God is enough. The second is around seeing every human being as a unique, beloved human being, not some cog in a machine. So Sabbath then emphasises all of life as a gift to be enjoyed. And it particularly challenges the idea that our purpose is to produce and consume. And instead it says our purpose is to love God and to love one another. And particularly it gives a religious ritual to enshrine that and to enshrine that... The poor are not to be abused. It's a religious ritual to make sure people are not overworked but are treated as equals with every other member of the Jewish community. And then I talked last time a little bit about how Christian Sunday observance over several hundred years gradually absorbed some of those ideas of the Sabbath, more the ones about worship and rest than the ones about protecting the rights of the poor. And I left you with three questions. So I know you've done your homework. How do we live with God of the Sabbath? How do you journey with a Sabbath God who upholds the rights of the poor worker and celebrates the goodness of creation for all? How do we as a gathered community follow that God together? So maybe just check in with yourself for a minute in case you did some thinking in the last month about those things, where you've come to today and what you're bringing. You might notice that the questions are not how do we do Sabbath for God, but an invitation into how do we remember the God of the Sabbath. The Sabbath tells us who God is and who we are. That's more important than what we do about Sabbath. Nearly everything that I read about Sabbath focused on the personal aspects, the health and well-being benefits of a day of rest, the moral responsibility as an individual to obey God's command to rest, the growth and depth in your personal relationship with God if you set aside time to pay attention, For some writers, there was an interest in how if we share the same time of Sabbath together, it creates community and it gives opportunities for family to get to know each other and build relationships. And these are all really good things, but they don't, to me, seem very strongly tied to the Sabbath rationale of upholding the rights of the poor and ensuring that people are treated with dignity. And some of the traditions are even quite detached from the foundational idea of celebrating God's abundance. I read this book by Abram. This is wonderful if you have time to read. It's Rabbi Abram Heschel. It's actually from 1951, but it's wonderful. Just every time it says man, just read woman and you'll be fine. And he describes the Jew. He's a Jewish rabbi, and he's describing what the Sabbath is to the Jews. I accidentally use who there because he personifies the Sabbath in the feminine, that the Sabbath is like a queen who comes to visit a Jewish household. She's welcomed with devotion and delight. She's a guest, and there's this sense of delight that the beloved is come to visit. Heschel talks about Sabbath as the space when time is given precedence rather than space. He uses space to mean all the stuff of matter, the things we can manipulate and control, and time being where God operates, the eternal space. He says 6 days a week we focus on the things of space, matter, substance. And then on the seventh day we cease those attentions and we give ourselves over to time, which we cannot control. The eternal presence. The eternal presence where the love of God enfolds us. Heschel says that for the Jews, the Sabbath is their great cathedral. Each Sabbath is a great cathedral. It's where Jewish people enter and encounter God in a holy time rather than in a holy place. So it's not an onerous obligation, but a joyful celebration. Heschel talks about being in love with eternity. And eternity for him is not that something happens a long time in the future. Eternity is everything from the past, all of the present and all of the future, and the presence of God running through that. And he talks about being in love with eternity as the heart of the Sabbath. Maybe today you would like to just spend this time being present to God's time. Enter into the cathedral of eternal time that sits alongside us. Heschel describes the Sabbath. The reason you don't work on the Sabbath is the same reason you don't go to work on your wedding day. Because it's so special and something wonderful is coming into your life. And people who observe a full day of Sabbath rest report that it is a life-giving practice. It orients them to God as the centre of their being, and it becomes a rhythm of life so that it's no longer a choice. Will I or won't I go to work on the seventh day? It's just the rhythm of the breathing in and breathing out. It's the unspoken habit. And I resonate with that. I wouldn't say I observe Sabbath necessarily, but since I was a teenager, I've had a practice of not working on Sundays. I'm standing before you working, but with the exception of standing here, which actually I love, and I don't do the preparation for this on Sundays, even when I worked in retail through uni, it was very firm for me that I didn't work on Sundays, and I now, all of my work is on my own time schedule. I work for myself and I work here for the church, and I'm very disciplined about none of that being on Sundays, and that's important when there's no boss telling me to stop working. And that is immensely life-giving for me to hold that. Nowhere is there any promise that if you rest on the seventh day, you will get everything done in 6 days. And as a control freak and a Myers-Briggs J-type personality, it makes it immensely difficult for me to say this to you, but Sabbath reorients us so that we know that getting everything done is not the purpose of being alive. I just write that on my fridge and tell myself that. God's presence and our response to God's presence is the purpose of being alive. Sabbath says even if your work is of life-saving importance. God does not want you to do it endlessly. If even God stopped working after 6 days and took a rest, who do you think you are? The rest is not to strengthen you to go back and work better. Sabbath is the pinnacle. The work is to enable you to enter the presence of God. For those who observe a whole day of Sabbath, they suggest things to set it apart, like lighting a candle the night before, lighting a candle at meals, preparing for a day off by making sure things are done the day before, possibly even cooking your food the day before so that you can not cook on the day, writing notes to yourself for Monday so that you're not worried about things you'll forget in between. This is important to me. I'm worried I'll forget it if I don't do it now. Write it down, put it for tomorrow. They talk about a day off not just from paid work but from drivenness, from the sense of obligation, and possibly starting and ending that time with some sort of blessing or a ritual to mark to yourself that you're stepping into a different space. But realistically, how many of us are actually going to set aside a whole day for Sabbath? And my job this morning is not to make you feel guilty. Because it's really easy for us to come here, gather, and set ourselves new goals for trying harder to be a good Christian so we can feel bad about ourselves by next Sunday or by Monday morning. Now, if what stirs in you today is a real sense that you need to do something to observe Sabbath, wonderful. But I'm not here to tell everyone you must do this. Do it if that is what's calling to you as where God is trying to meet you at the moment. And I'd like us instead to notice where we are already doing these things and to celebrate. Maybe even to notice and then commit to something we already do, but to do it with more intentionality. This idea of wasting time with God. Tilden Edwards writes, he's a foundational spiritual director in the US, trains and establishes spiritual direction training. He writes about Sabbath and he says there's two main elements, stopping and being present. Stopping our work or our driven attitudes and then actively paying attention to the things of God. So in a risky move, I am now going to ask you to talk to each other. It's risky because you're very hard to bring back when I do this. But if you don't want to talk to anyone else, that's fine. Talk to yourself. But pay attention in your life already, intentionally or less intentionally, where do you stop? And how do you do that? How do you stop? Where do you pay attention to God, celebrate the goodness? Where do you waste time with God? So I'm going to say go. Find someone, preferably someone who's not in your family. If you're sitting next to your partner, turn the other way. If you're at the end of the row, find someone behind you. And I want to start by encouraging you that if you are here this morning, or if you're listening to this recording and you've made time to listen to it, you're already doing something. You are already stopping and you're already being actively present. So from that starting point that I know you are already doing something, what else are you already doing? All right, this is my first attempt to round you up. I knew it. This is my second attempt to round you up. Anyone who turned up at 8 o'clock for breakfast, you get a special dispensation. With children, 8 o'clock. All four families with primary school children were in the park by 8:10 this morning with our breakfast. It was a miracle. So hopefully that's given you some sense of your own self and where you were at. My challenge, the thing I woke up with this morning that didn't sit right, was that I just kept making this into a list of actions of things to try and things to do. But more importantly, the question is not so much what am I doing and what am I not doing, but where am I noticing the God of the Sabbath in my life? This God who is about abundance, trust, who loves every individual, who wants every person to be treated with dignity. Where do I notice that God in my life? And what reminds me to notice and what helps me facilitate that noticing? Because otherwise I keep making Sabbath about what I do, not about who God is. And I think the importance of the Sabbath tradition, and particularly as Christians who are not part of the Mosaic Covenant, which says you must observe the Sabbath, the heart of who it tells us God is, I think, is what we carry into who we are. So having said that, I am going to give a range of things that from the readings I did, were ways people were observing Sabbath time in their lives somehow. A lot of people light candles at various points to hold a space. I'm going to condense it because I feel this is not probably the heart of it, but it gives us things to grab onto if we're looking for something to help us notice. Some people suggested wearing something, wearing a pin or a brooch or a particular shirt that you put on and say, this is the thing I wear that tells me I'm entering a different time or space. Many people practice Sabbath by walking in the bush. Eugene Peterson talks about walking in the bush as his... Eugene Peterson was a parish pastor, so Sundays were definitely not the day off for him, but Mondays was his Sabbath. He and his wife would, whatever the weather, go to the bush walk, say a prayer together and walk in silence. Possibly for a couple of hours until I got to sort of the point they'd sit down, eat their lunch together, have a chat about what they'd seen and walk back companionably. And that was their practice, and his wife kept a journal about that. That was Sabbath for them. And very importantly for him, he was completely unavailable to the people in his parish on that day. Plan to encounter beauty and then pay attention, whether that's nature, art, music, aromas, literature, food, encounter beauty and pay attention. Play music just for pleasure, not because you're rehearsing for a gig or trying to improve your scales. I would play better if I actually improved my scales. But swim or run or move just for fun, not to win anything and not to improve your fitness. Take a leisurely bath, maybe with oils and candles and things. These are about ways to celebrate the abundance, slow yourself down, pay attention. Calvin, who has a reputation for being somewhat dour, celebrated Sundays by having worship in the morning and spending the afternoon playing skittles with the people of Geneva. Because play is significantly part of Sabbath. As a family, play. Set time aside to play. Play a board game. Play whatever it is. Kick the soccer ball. But make time to play. One person I read wrote about Sabbath sex, which is also part of play and celebration. Make time to be with family and friends, just enjoying each other and the goodness of your lives. or the not goodness of your lives, but be with each other. Possibly if you're sharing meals together, which is the ancient art of hospitality in lots of ways, to make your table special in some way that says, this is not just an ordinary meal, this is a meal where we are paying attention to being together. Put flowers on it if you don't normally put flowers, light candles. Put a tablecloth at our house. If you put a tablecloth on, it's a very special thing. I'm not actually sure we've got one. No, yeah, we do. We do. We've got that lace curtain we use as a tablecloth. Recently, Tyson and I had dinner with Russell and Carolyn Montgomery, and they have raised three boys. The third one's in year 12 now, to adulthood. And through their raising boys, they have a practice of doing the examine at dinner together, round the table, asking everyone, tell us a blessing from your day, tell us a challenge from your day. And we were with them on a Friday night, and two of their children were there. And they do it anyway. Whoever's there, if your guests are there, you roll them in. And it's something that might sound awkward to do with children and teenagers, but it has been a practice for them. And I watched how their young adult son and his wife were just absorbed into this as a rolling practice. This is what this family does. You come here and you talk about your blessings and your challenges. They wouldn't probably call that a Sabbath practice, but as I was reflecting on Sabbath when I was there, I thought, actually, I think that's how I would call that. Another family had a giving box on the table on Sabbath that encouraged everyone to put something in it, some coins or something, so that both the sense of generosity and the presence of the poor with them in their celebrations of abundance. Once a week, sit down and list the things you're grateful for, privately, or write them down or speak them aloud to each other. Dan Allender, who writes on Sabbath, talks about having a special pen and a special book that he only uses on his Sabbath day to write the things he's grateful for. He talks about smoking a cigar while he does that, which is part of his special thing. That's not very special for me. I'd just like to say to anyone who lives in my house, please don't do that. Say a blessing over each member of your family. Use words to articulate to each other the joy, the goodness of God you see in each other. Wash each other's feet. Have a practice of saying sorry. Spending time practicing forgiveness, and then time to just reconcile in the gentle, unstructured way that relationships need beyond a saying sorry. Children Edwards writes that in his home they have an hour dedicated to silence. He has children. And including his children, that they all go on their own. It's silence for an hour, and they're meant to use the time to reflect on who they are and where God is with them. He said sometimes the children do sort baseball cards and whatever, but that's the intention of the time, and that it's dedicated, the house is completely silent. And then at the end of that, they end it with a prayer or something to note the silence is finished. Digitally disconnect. I have for some years attempted to practice screen-free Sundays, which is a work in progress. If you've tried to reach me by email on the weekend, you'll know I often don't reply. I don't tend to check my email, usually all weekend, but definitely not on Sunday. I try to use my phone as just a phone on Sundays, and even that to be careful about. It's really, really hard in our culture to disconnect from screen, but to do so very strongly says I'm doing something different and I'm paying attention to something else. Now, how we do Sabbath will change depending on our circumstances, our family dynamics, our cultural heritage, our work context, our stage of life, our personality, our health. But having some sort of ritual, which is the word Luke used, some sort of ritual that says, I want to pay attention, can be really life-giving. When I was in my 20s and on my own, my Sabbath practice was to do nothing on Sundays that had the word should in it. And that was a really useful framing for me of, is this or isn't this a Sabbath thing? If I feel that I'm saying I should whatever it is, then it's not. That worked until I got married and had children and had family and obligations, and Sundays is a time that is a family time, particularly for Tyson's family. It's just at the life stage I am now, my life has should in it all the time. It's just not realistic as a parent with small children to spend a whole day doing nothing with should. But I live in hope that at a later life stage, I may be able to return to that space. Oh, John, give me hope. But what it did give me was a good filter that I'm still... I did that for several years, and I still have, I think, a reasonable ability to hear the invisible should, because I actively practice listening for it for a while. And again, all of those are great ideas, but do they capture the sense of Sabbath about being about abundance, trust, and upholding the poor as beloved? Do they draw us closer to the Sabbath God, or do they just draw us closer to a nice God? And they don't necessarily. I think our intention is the key. We can light as many candles as we like, but if we don't say to ourselves, we're lighting this candle to pay attention to the God who loves the poor, then the intention is not there. If it's all about me, then I miss the point. And I found a lot of Sabbath writing felt like it was about me. How can this benefit me? But I think the heart of Sabbath is about paying attention to God's goodness for others, which also includes me when I start doing that. The point is not to do Sabbath, but to orient to the God of Sabbath. And it's easier to do Sabbath things that celebrate abundance and trust than to pay attention to the heart of God for the poor. Tilden Edwards suggests that the Sabbath is a day when we dream of a just world, and we enter the drama of that dream and see what moves us. See what moves you when you dream of a just world. Tilden Edwards is the same one who has the definition of wasting time with God. Waste time with God, dream of a just world, and see what moves you. Some ideas I had of how those sort of practices we just talked about might be tweaked to hold the heart of a God who loves the poor. If we're offering hospitality to our friends, to our family, offer hospitality to people at the margins. Offer hospitality to people who are lonely, who don't have a family to share with. There's a strong Sabbath tradition of the Sabbath being a time for acts of mercy, particularly visiting people in aged care or in prison or who are sick, who are stuck at home. Sharing our celebrations with others so that our celebration is not just about us. Another thing that occurs to me is that when we practice our day of rest or our time of rest, other people are still working. How can I notice them? And how can I look them in the eye? Often there's invisible people in the world that I don't see who are working, like people who clean the toilets or pick up the rubbish at the cafe. Or often my rest leans on the work of others, the wait staff when I go out for a coffee, the cinema ushers, football umpires. To say my personal rest never leans on football umpires. Train guards, lifeguards, checkout operators, bus drivers, chefs, musicians, sports people, the petrol station attendant, cleaner, security guard, radio broadcasters. How many of us listened to the radio this morning? As we do Sabbath, someone is sitting in a studio working. I love Radio National in the morning. I think a Sabbath practice is to look these people in the eye, except possibly not the ones on the radio, notice them and say thank you and ask them how they are. Treat them as a person and not a piece of a machine. See them. Let them know, I see you. Because Sabbath says to the workers and the poor, God sees you. Perhaps a Sabbath practice would be to choose some ethical practices that you can't maintain all the time and just do them one day a week, like wearing slavery-free clothing. Maybe just if you can only manage one slavery-free outfit, which if you're a woman and you need undergarments is quite challenging, and just wear that one day a week and know that this is your practice to recognise that so much of our clothing is produced by slaves or people who are near slaving conditions. Or maybe only drink fair trade tea and coffee on that day. We're ahead of you on this for church. You can drink fair trade coffee at morning tea. Maybe one day a week eat vegan or local only food. Something that is an ethical commitment that maybe you can't do all the time, but for one day a week says, I'm committed to the goodness of God for this world. In any prayers and rituals and blessings, ensure that the words we use are not just about us, but that we are remembering the God of everyone. And all those other practices about paying attention to God also reorient my inner compass so that work is not my God. And that gives me space to see workers differently, and particularly to see them rather than to use them. I think also there's a question for us as a gathered community. When we come together on Sunday, especially those of us who prepare services, but all of us as we come here, how does MHCC renew our awareness of God's presence and God's abundance and God's justice? Is this somewhere that we are reminded of the needs of the poor and strengthened for sharing with them? Is this somewhere that you are welcome if you are poor, if you are struggling, oppressed, marginalised, suffering? And again, I feel like I'm teetering towards onerous obligations. Another way to work hard at pleasing God, and another way to fail. So I want to return to Heschel's language of the Sabbath as a welcome house guest, an invitation into the cathedral of God's time. God's time, which is always alongside us if we care to look for it. It is always sheltering the oppressed, whether we see them or not. And it is always wrapping you in abundant love, if only we would notice. Final quote from Heschel. Before I give you the quote, Heschel, being a Jew, understands Hebrew. When you write Hebrew, you only write the consonants and not the vowels. You know the vowels, but the consonants are what's written down. Creation is the language of God. Time is God's song. And the things of space, which is matter and substance, the things of space are the consonants in the song. To sanctify time is to sing the vowels in unison with God. Creation is the language of God. Time is God's song, and the things of space are the consonants in the song. To sanctify time is to sing the vowels in unison with God. We have time for some questions, or if there's any feedback out of the what you were talking with each other. Anyone want to say anything?
If I could be quite personal, I thank you for what you've said, and I agree with almost all of it. Almost.
Almost is pretty good, actually.
I didn't like the word ritual, because I really think that's where we run into trouble. Where are my glasses? I only need them just to read words. Hebrews chapter 4, there's two verses that are absolutely crucial. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort, I love this translation in the NIV, make every effort to enter that rest. Mm-hmm. I've got to work hard to enter into rest. Yeah. And I've had to do that. I'm a very activist sort of person. And God taught me a lesson when I was 30 and sent me a dose of polio. And I was laid aside for 2 months. I wasn't allowed to do anything except rest, which I found a terrible trial. But I learned from it, and then gradually I was allowed to take on. I had to put aside everything. I wasn't allowed to do any extracurricular work. I wasn't even allowed in the classroom for 2 months. And then gradually I came back, but I wasn't allowed to take on anything extracurricular, which meant anything to do with church or Christianity, I couldn't do. A year later, I was told I could go normally, and I did a review as to what I would take up again from what I'd been doing before. And I couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. I was doing everything I had done a year before with about 50% of the energy and effort and time, because I had learned to do it restfully. And there is rest is an attitude, an approach, where it doesn't just depend upon me doing things, but being. Mm. And there's so much more I could say. I don't, so I just want to encourage people that it is possible to be restful and achieve a good deal, but without the personal cost that comes from being constantly active doing.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I've said too much.
Elise, behind you, Scott.
Something John said, and linking it to what you were saying, you're talking about meeting people who are working when we're on the Sabbath. But I think the other flip side of that is when we're working, meeting people who can't. Because I think that's something I've learnt in the last 12 months, is there's such a deep loneliness in not being able to be a worker as an adult, not being able to be someone who serves others because of the life that you have and the limitations that you have. And so as a worker, taking time out of your work to actually be in the space with someone who can't, won't, isn't in that mainstream experience of busyness and going, is actually also really enriching, and there's growth in that, and there's other things that can happen when you stop the work to be in a space with someone who can't.
Just something I want to share is, for me, the notion of Sabbath and Sabbath practices that cut the doing drivenness. And I think for me, along with everything you said about the day, to me, what I'm most aware of for me is, what are my daily Sabbath practices? They're not about the day. So for me, My morning stillness practice is very intentionally, how do I slow myself down and stop the daily 24-hour bit that winds me up? So, and then the other thing I shared is, some years ago I started using my breath, noticing my breath and noticing my pace of walking, and that being an interrupt for me. So walking between appointments, or making sure I'm scheduling time in my day that are not back-to-back appointments. Mm. So those sort of practices for me have been significant for my Sabbath practice. And I'm going to forward out, there's a writer called David White, poet that I love, who I recently came across two articles I'll put out. One is called Besieged, and the other is called Rest. And I think they speak to what we're talking about today.
And I would say that thing about not observing the Sabbath as a day, but noticing where you encounter Sabbath time, that the Sabbath time, the cathedral of time, is always there. Where do we encounter Sabbath time in minutes or hours or days? Yeah.
Something you've just said, Michael, made me think of one aspect of Sabbath, I suppose Sabbath, that I hadn't thought of, is that for me it's actually quite physically intense, but I do, you know, martial art exercise classes, which themselves are a time and space completely away from the rest of my life, but also leave me physically tired such that for the rest of that day at least, and sometimes the rest of, you know, for a couple of days, I do much less physically intense things, and so I do physically slow down, and I'm just starting to think about what that means.
I guess as we've been talking and you've given us a list of ideas on how to do this, I recognise that temptation in all of us who are very busy and we're very driven, to go, oh, great, I can do the Sabbath by, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to turn this off, I'm going to do this. And we just end up kind of coming up with another list of things to do. And it's about, you know, then we pat ourselves on the back in terms of, I've been doing this right and I've been taking the time and I've been, you know, and it's, how do you, it's just a shift in, and I guess not trying to look at your identity in terms of, well, 6 days a week I ticked off everything I needed to do in terms of work or family life, and then on the seventh day I ticked off all the things I needed to do to celebrate the Sabbath. But it's about, you know, not getting our identity from doing those things. How do you change that mindset? How do you shift from trying to, you know, feel good about yourself from what you've managed to achieve, whether that's driven things or Sabbath things? Yeah.
Yeah, if your Sabbath is also a drivenness, then you're not taking a break from drivenness. Yeah.
It has just struck me how much what we're talking about is at odds against our culture. Our culture is all about increasing productivity, increasing growth, increasing efficiency. There's an incredible drivenness about our culture. We're going to end up being fish swimming against the current.
We are, both because of the drivenness of our culture and also because of the very strong fear of missing out culture. If I stop for a day, what will I miss?
Sorry, it takes me a moment to stand up. That thing you said about Sabbath, you know, the danger that it'll just be about me, and to me that's also tied with the assumption that this Sabbath stuff's going to make us feel good. And I think there's a sort of, for me, there's another aspect of the stopping of Sabbath, which is that opening of the possibility of sadness. Mm-hmm. And I think if we ignore that, we might not realise why we're avoiding the Sabbath. Because I think there's the joy and the beauty and other things we might be more aware of. But I think in God's heart there's also sadness, and sadness for our world and how that is. And, you know, particularly for many of us who, you know, feel a little bit of despair sometimes, you know, looking at how the world is at the moment with climate change and politics and all the other things. And just to stop and allow ourselves to feel that, is not necessarily going to always feel great.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's important. I think part of the idea of Sabbath is that it gives us the space to lament within a wider holding of God who is trustworthy. I've got one more, and then I'm going to ask you to do something to finish.
I just found myself thinking, well, I've been thinking a lot while you were speaking that so much of what you were saying, for me as a psychologist, just fits within mindfulness, self-compassion, you know, how to take good care of yourself. But it also bothers me that I would do those things for that reason. So I was just thinking about, you know, how would I perhaps change that for me? And I thought that for me, if I was focusing on spending time with someone that I love, that would change for me that emphasis on looking after me, basically, by doing those things. So it was more a change of perspective, perhaps, than necessarily a change of what I might do.
Thank you. I'm going to now ask you to bless each other. One of the things that was suggested as a Sabbath practice is to bless the people in your home or each other. So a blessing that we use, that I use with the children when I do godly play, is to, on the palm of the other person, draw a cross and a circle. And as you say the cross, the bottom of the lines, you say, God loves you today, and draw a cross, and always, and draw a circle. With their name, hopefully. And the idea is you look them in the eye, use their name and say, God loves you today and always. So as a small moment of a potential Sabbath practice that works across ages, I'd encourage you to turn to someone near you and each person receive and give a blessing. God loves you today and always.